Breach gate. Found this. On the driveway. How about you?
My morning stop at the QT here at 90 and get back on 85 headed south.
Did you ever get anywhere on getting your radio fixed?
You in the morning before I leave the house because I keep on forgetting to bring the filters with me.
For HK. Maybe you can remember one day. Did you leave the house? What? About 20, 30 minutes ago?
Target like 5 o'clock to leave in the house. I just need to make myself like a calendar reminder, you know, write it on the door, just, you know, put them in my car in the afternoon or something if I can remember.
Trust me, trying to remember small stuff like that sometimes is just hard to do without some kind of reminder or just happenstance to remember it.
Procedures are lengthy. There's, you know, getting up, showering, feeding the dog, making coffee, getting my laptop together for work, finding my work badge, all this other stuff, you know, just making sure I have all that. And I pretty much do that stuff on autopilot, and, you know, adding anything else to that is not easy.
You're on autopilot for a little bit, trying just to get to the vehicle and get moving.
Through a hole and missed all of that.
Get to autopilot, I do the same thing for about the first 15, 20 minutes that I'm awake.
Yeah, I did make myself a double espresso this morning right before I left, but still didn't help me remember the filters.
That radio this morning?
I have a P2900 I put in the car.
KEMO. Group KO4HKX.
W2JKT.
How are y'all doing?
About 20 minutes.
Doing okay. Just waking up still. It's sitting here on 85 South.
Having some coffee this morning. Yesterday, my wife didn't get up with me, and I didn't wake up early enough to really get it going. But I got some this morning on the way.
Be here. I just never have been a coffee guy.
Option without it. But yeah, going back to the radio real quick, Patrick. I still have trouble hearing the repeater even with this radio, so it's got to be my antenna installation on this car or something, or maybe just, you know, conditions or the repeater, whatever. It's a little bit better on this radio, but I don't think it's statistically significantly better, maybe just marginally better.
Figure that. I'm kind of the same way. I'm not necessarily ready to say it's the radio.
Truck in one morning just to kind of compare, because I seem to remember that it's fantastic in my truck, but in my truck I have an NMO mount on the roof with the hole drilled, and there's a really good ground connection there because of the NMO mount, and I'm sure that that antenna just has a fantastic ground plane, and it's mounted on the top of the vehicle. On my Bolt, I've got one of those clamp-on antennas on the hatchback. So it probably doesn't have a great ground plane and probably no ground connection at all at that mounting location. So that's probably a big difference.
And mine sits out on a mirror, so I'm in the same situation. But the thing that gets me about mine is it was great, and then all of a sudden it just quit.
I'll keep playing with it and see if I can make it better. I got another irons in the fire right now. I went to our ham club meeting last night and talked to their repeater manager, and you know, since they have a D-Star machine, you know, one of the things that's been holding me back from putting up my D-Star machine is that I've lost the CD that has the software needed to change the frequency on the repeater, but they had a copy of it, so they're going to get me a copy of that software, and then I'll be able to finish putting it up. I got my coordination already, and I've already tuned my cans. So all I need now is the software to change the frequency, and I'll be ready to be able to put it up.
Good luck with that. I hope everything goes good for you. But Andrew, what you got planned for today?
Today's my late day, so I won't get off work till 5:30-ish, and head on home and try not to fall asleep on the couch.
AW Mobile. KO4HGX.
BTO.
everybody's doing well on this hump day.
Yep. A 3-day weekend. What's going on?
Day is coming up.
MLK Day.
One off.
Gave us that one, and then they gave us Veterans Day in November, and they took Good Friday.
Holiday. We had one. We lost it for Juneteenth.
It's a floating holiday. It's like, okay, use this holiday for whatever, you know, cultural holiday that you want to take during the year.
Way to do it.
Floating holidays.
That guy I work for, he just won't let you off at all.
Copy.
Yeah, I think he needs a good talking to, or maybe a big stick.
I think 11 total, maybe 12, I can't remember, but we have Good Friday, 2 days Christmas, 2 days of New Year, Memorial Day, July 4th, you know, all the usual stuff, a couple others in there, and then, you know, one floater for the cultural observance of our choice.
12 or 13, and then we'll have shutdown days or non-production days on top of that.
Here's at the company this year, so I get my extra week of vacation, so that brings me up to, I'll have 23 days of vacation this year on top of the 11 or 12 holidays, so I'll take that. That's a pretty good setup.
We're only 5 years into the company.
When I signed on, an extra week of vacation, and then following their normal, you know, extra week schedule. So I started with 18 days, and then, you know, I wasn't going to take fewer vacation days than I had at my last job, obviously. And then, you know, 5 years in, they gave me an extra week. So, yeah, that's 23 days for me this year.
We don't pick up our fourth week till you put 15 years in. At 15 years, you get your fourth week of vacation.
Get another week. I think they give you another week at like 10 or 12 years or something like that.
When? Decent size one or not. An hour and a half drive. I don't know if it was any good.
My idea. I can see if I can find what path. Kind of get a comparison for you. See if I can get somebody to give me that stake.
Let me know. I'd like to know. You know, if it's like 5 or 6 cars lined up selling out of their trunk, it might not be worth the drive.
Testing, so maybe it'll be pretty decent size. Chad and Gary are going to be VEs down there, so I'll see if I can talk to Gary today, because I know he's been and he'll have past experience with it.
Doing anything for Winter Field Day?
Getting together and doing Winter Field Day this year, not for points or anything like that, but just as a way to get together and share amateur radio.
Our club is doing the same, but I'm not sure I'll go. I might set up in my backyard a little bit and just, you know, like you say, operate for fun and not for points. A lot depends on the weather and what the kids' schedule is.
Be the first one I've done anything with, so I really don't know anything about it.
They're similar to the regular kind of, you know, mainline field day, summer field day, I guess, but there are some slight differences, like you can't use FT8 or FT4 in this one. Other than that, I think it's pretty much the same.
Differences, no digital modes where you couldn't use them in an emergency communication situation.
That's the idea, is you have to be able to send, you know, messages that have pertinent information, and you can't do that with the FT8 or FT4. So, JS8 call, yeah, you can, but I think, you know, FT8 and FT4 are specifically prohibited for that reason. PSK31, I like to sit there and do keyboard-to-keyboard chat with people.
And I hadn't got on PSK31 in probably 6 months or more. I just fell out of the habit of logging in to do it.
Thing with Olivia?
I doing it specifically, but, you know, Ham Radio Deluxe, if they put the SSID on the beginning of it, it'll tell you what the mode is. I think I've answered a CQ call, but I've never specifically used the mode myself to call CQ.
And because, you know, oftentimes you don't even know it's there because you can't hear it. It allows such a low signal-to-noise ratio that you have to kind of know where it is. You have to know where it is because you can't hear it or even see it on the waterfall, but the software can still pick it out.
In different modes, I mean, they can get down way in the weeds. Are you still there? Are you going to do winter field day with
them? I may. Just depends on, you know, what the weather is and everything, what mean season got going that day, but... Yeah, I'd like to get over there just to meet everybody anyway.
Where up, do you know?
Far from the intersection of 290 and 25.
Y'all can still hear me.
What club is it?
Blue Ridge Club.
Shelby Radio Club setting up at Kings Mountain State Park. So they're going to be doing... you know, POTA activations as well, so that should be pretty fun.
And a POTA activation in the middle of the winter field day because the bands get busy.
Park bands where there no contesting is allowed, so I'm not sure if POTA counts as a contest, but I'm pretty sure that I've heard POTA activations on work bands before.
I think you can do them on those too. Yes, dude, Ken, where are we? Don't keep score, but keep up with how many contacts you made over winter field day.
It's going on. Usually I do pretty good. I know me and Ed used to do that all the time.
I mean, look, when me, you, and Ed did that the first year I ever tried it.
When you can't hear each other, but you can hear the other operator call out your buddy's call sign, know that they got him first.
Going up in the parking lot, so it's that time for me. I'm going to say 7-3. Y'all be safe out there on the road, and I hope I'll holler at you at least in the morning. I won't get off work till 5:30 today, so we'll holler at y'all in the morning, KO4CEF, and I'll be clear on the final.
W2JKT, have a good day.
7-3, Andrew, have a good day. KN4TF, end of the day, Eric.
Not just another day of meetings and then go home, so not much fun at work today, but yeah, I don't know what's on the kids' schedule tonight. I don't think we have much. I think it might just be family night at home tonight. Tommy, I was going to do maybe an Arduino project with him either this afternoon or tomorrow evening, so maybe we'll do that.
Any plans for this evening? Just chilling out, resting probably. And at work, it's just a regular day. I don't think I have anything out of the ordinary, but that's always subject to change.
Office 3 days in a row here this week, so I'll be looking forward to a work from home day tomorrow. And you know, Friday I'm taking a PTO day. I have to take one of my dogs to a specialist vet over in Asheville, so I'll be just taking the day off from work for that. So this is my last day in the office at least, and I can sleep in tomorrow a little bit and get caught up because you know, these long days driving into the office are pretty rough on me if I do too many of them in a row.
Well, it's good you picked tomorrow to be from home because it's supposed to, be coming a flood, isn't it? And that and off on Friday, so I hope your dog's going to be all right.
She needs has pretty bad knees, and she blew out her dog equivalent of the ACL in one of her legs 3 years ago and had the surgery to get it fixed, and now she's blown out the other one. So she needs to get the left one fixed now. So they just go in and they actually like cut off part of the head of the tibia and rotate it and then reattach it. And they, by changing the angle of that interface with the knee, they make the ACL unnecessary, so they don't need it anymore. So they basically just remove it and then change that. The angle of the tibial plateau, and then that just fixes everything. So it's a pretty straightforward surgery. It's kind of expensive, but you know, her right knee is fine now. has no issues with it whatsoever. And so now they'll fix the left one, and she'll be back to normal in about 8 weeks.
Good. At least they've came a long way in all those things and what they can do nowadays. What did she do? Just real active and messed it up?
This dog, I mean, she's 9.5 years old, and she still runs around like she's a puppy, so... that's a great thing, but yeah, it's kind of rough on her sometimes. Gets a little too rough sometimes, and you know, just put some stress on it. You know, some dogs just have that anatomical tendency to rupture the cruciate ligaments in the knee. So, not a huge deal. Just, you know, a lot of money, and but she'll be back to normal, and you know, enjoy the rest of her life.
KN4TFW.
KT. So you said there's some weather coming in. I haven't looked at the forecast lately, but is there a lot of rain?
An inch, but it's supposed to be some pretty good thunderstorms late Thursday afternoon.
Monday to be inside, not doing anything.
Yeah.
Tonight is also spaghetti night for us, so that's always a good time.
It's chili dogs.
About living in Atlanta and going to Georgia Tech was the chili dogs at the varsity.
There about 100 times, but I don't know that I've ever stopped.
My dad went to Georgia Tech in the late 60s, early 70s, and they were there, and you know, they were always there when I was there, and I don't think they're going anywhere ever. It's such a cultural and historical landmark in Atlanta now that I don't think you could ever get rid of it. I think the city has tried to shut them down a couple of times to, you know, take that space because it's prime real estate right there on the connector, but they've just never been able to do it. So the varsity will probably live on forever.
Right, if they really want it, they'll just tax them until they can't afford it.
The government will eventually get what it wants, I guess.
They're doing with you know, all those mill houses in Greenville. You know, they buy a couple and fix them up, and then it causes the taxes to go up on, you know, people that have lived there 30 or 40 years, and then pretty soon they just can't afford it.
So the varsity is fortunate that they actually own that property. They don't lease it. And you know, the property taxes, you know, they're going to pay the same property taxes as everyone else. So as long as they still have, you know, people lined up out the door all day, every day like they do, you know, they should be able to be fine.
Stop there one time, went down through there, but it's not very often anymore that I go down through there.
Okay, see, I think somebody tried to double with you there. Is there somebody else here?
Another station in there real light a while ago, but yeah, I don't know. Might be Patrick. He probably made the jump. You got that programmed in your radio yet?
Yeah, that's 147.285, right?
Yeah, Roger, it's just, you can just key it in, there isn't any offset or anything.
I get there, W2JKTQSY.
TFWQSY. TFW Mobile.
Hey, let's head back. I was on low power, so let's go back and I'll turn the power up.
All right, I can monitor both at the same time.
R2JKT. JKD Mobile.
KN4TFW Mobile.
Henry, not to be able to get into that machine, but maybe I'm a little too far south. I'm at exit 55 now.
It seems like people that are closer to it are louder. But like when the repeater identifies, the volume is great. And that, but some people are loud, some people are soft. I don't know what the problem is.
True, but I know Patrick is just extremely loud on that or where he is, and then you know, you're kind of quiet, and Andrew's super quiet. So yeah, I don't know what the deal is.
WJCA. KN4TFW. Good morning, Miss Sally.
Good morning, Ms. Sally. How are you guys doing this morning?
Doing okay. Got up a little late this morning, but just took some of my medicine and ate some breakfast real quick.
Then I say good morning, Miss Ashley.
She's up at 5 o'clock, Ken. she got to get up and get ready, and she takes care of the dogs and feeds them and lets them out, and then she gets ready and then makes me some breakfast and makes her some breakfast, and then she didn't have to be to work till 8 o'clock, but she's picking up some overtime this week, so she's going in at 7 a.m.
Always get it when you can, because you might not can get it when you need it.
You mean, yeah, she had her first week with the company, boy, she picked up some overtime quickly, but I guess the beginning of this year, they told everybody that you have to get overtime approved ahead of time, so, which is, you know, okay, because usually, you know, she works from 8 to 5, and they'll ask her to stay over, which she doesn't have a problem doing, but apparently when you get an influx of mortgage checks come in, they need them put in by in a timely manner, so they authorize it, and that's what she did, and so that's what she's doing, picking up when she can. And Eric, did you ever get your radio taken apart yesterday and remember to bring your filters today?
I heard it in my office, but no, I did forget the filters again today, so I'll probably have to wait until next week to put those in. Not really sure it's the radio anyway, because, you know, with the Yaesu this morning, I'm still having the same kind of thing where I have a hard time pulling the speaker in. And so, hey, I'm not really 100% sure it's the radio, but I guess we'll find out if the filters do anything.
It's good to see. I don't know what the status of the repeater is or when the last time they tuned it or cleaned the cans or cavities on the duplexers or, you know, what the condition of the coax is or anything like that, but it has its day. Some days it works fine, and some days it hiccups.
Neither one of you are solid on me riding down the road, and usually there is.
Road, so, you know, I should be moving in there. I'm at the low 3 setting on the FT2900, which I think is 40 watts or something like that. So I should be getting right in there from basically downtown Greenville. So I don't know what's going on.
5 watts, and I need to put a meter on this because we had one the other day when I just need to check it and make sure I can open it up and tune it. But my high power is supposed to be 50 watts, and the other day when we checked it, it was like a 40 watts when we checked it. So I'm not sure what's going on.
How are you running, Richard?
Diamond VX2000 Alpha. It's a tri-band antenna. It's 2, 4, and 6 meter.
I have at home. It's a good antenna, but there is a tuning capacitor in it that tends to fail. I've been through a couple of them over the years, and that'll change the match on. It changes the match on the higher bands more than it does on the low bands. I don't think it makes a difference at all on 6 meters, but I think there is a capacitor there at the base that can fail and change it. But probably not your problem. It hasn't happened to me in a long time, so they may have changed the design, but it's a great antenna otherwise.
Comet GP9, 17-foot fiberglass one to go up here, dual band, it's got more gain, but the radiation pattern is a lot different than the other one. Jerry put his up, and it's more on a horizontal plane. That's like if he's got it on top of it at a certain altitude or a certain height, it doesn't go down into the valley floor, so it's kind of like a horizon-type radiation.
Gain on your vertical, the more like a pancake the radiation pattern will be. So a lot of those antennas, if they're designed right, they'll incorporate like a few degrees of electrical down tilt. And they can do that with, how they do the phasing and stuff like that. But, you know, they have to be doing it deliberately. But, you know, a lot of those antennas, especially if you buy, like, a repeater antenna, they will have several degrees of electrical down tilt. Same thing for, like, TV and FM antennas, just to get that radiation pointed down at the ground so it just doesn't fly over everybody.
We're going to put this up a little bit higher. And I'm hoping that's going to increase my communications. We do a simplex net on a different frequency, and we're just being, you know, kind of preparing so that I have good, reliable simplex communication without the use of the repeater. KA3JCA.
Still here, Ken?
Yep.
Still here, KN4TFW.
I'm about a couple miles out from getting off the interstate.
Well, I'm Richard. I'm putting up my D-Star machine at my house pretty soon. I have a V2000 that I'm going to be using for it with a triplexer to break out the 2-meter and 6-meter portions of my shack, and then use the VHF portion for the D-Star machine. So we'll see how that works out. I might put a second vertical antenna on that mast so I can use with vertical separation, so I can use a VHF radio in the shack as well, but I might need a notch filter for it. So we'll see how it all works out, but I'm finally where I can get antennas put up at the house.
Copied about two-thirds of that. You broke up that transmission. I'm not sure why, but I do understand you got your D-Star up and are getting ready and you're waiting for the programming and so forth like that. So that's awesome. So, yep, I'm looking at, I would like to put a Brandmeister DMR repeater and a GMRS repeater up in the local area.
Yeah, this is 44, and this is where I start to lose the repeater real bad. So I'm going to go ahead and sign with you guys and wish you all a good day. We'll catch up this, maybe I'll run into you guys this afternoon a little bit. This is W2JKT. Have a great day, guys. I'll be clearing your final.
Eric, have a good day. KM4TFW.
7-3, Eric. Okay, Ken, are you almost to work, sir?
5 minutes out.
Lottery tickets for last night because nobody won, so it's going up to like $1.3
billion. Yeah, I know. Out of three picks, all I ever get is like one or maybe two numbers, and none of those are on the same pick. And it's like it's just stupid, ridiculous. That's all. Out of all of the numbers, the highest number in this draw was 18. All the numbers were low.
Saw that. Yeah, Ashley went last night on the way home, and we just said, hey, here's $10. Just pick up a couple tickets, and she got three quick picks and so forth like that. So we just checked them and nothing, so we'll have to try again. That's about the only time I try is when they get high enough.
In here. I think I'd be better with a scratch-off.
The most I've ever won off of a scratch-off is like $100.
Can't play the scratch-off. I had to read up on them and see which one has that I like the best.
I know how they make those tickets and stuff like that. I just wonder deep down if they keep track of what role and what thing the winning numbers are on which tickets and which store gets it.
Hey, I don't know. It'd be interesting to find out, though, right?
Was it the, on the news a couple weeks ago, a young man, 18 years old, has only played the lottery like three times in his life. And I think he won $100,000 or $200,000.
Now, with that, I might could go ahead and retire now. I mean, that should be enough to buy insurance until I retire, right?
But the price of everything's going up. I mean, Ashley was telling me how much the price of eggs are going up. I'm going to have to stop eating eggs for breakfast. Either that or do like Tom did and give me some girls there and adopt them and put me a little coop out back here and start collecting my own eggs.
And Susan said something about it yesterday. And that with the price of eggs, might better go ahead and do it. I heard they were getting ready to go up to about $1 a piece, sure enough.
Charging $1 a piece when you go into stores or restaurants now. You know, you get like two eggs, bacon, and then for this price. But if you want an extra egg, it's like another buck for an egg.
Restaurant Season works at. I mean, they use a bunch of eggs every day because, I mean, all the omelets are like three egg omelets. But it used to cost $40 a case, and now they're like $150 a case.
Remember? remember, Ken, when coffee was like a nickel or a dime a cup? Now it's like $2.50.
Front you worked at, it's like $3 and something.
A lot, and just to help Sally, who she doesn't have to cook and so forth, but I've been trying to tell her that I'd rather go buy a 2-liter bottle of soda, let her open it up and drink it, and then what gets, because she says it gets flat real quick. So, you know, like if you drink it and you don't drink the bottle that day and you come back the next day, to her it's flat. To me it still has some fizz in it, but even so, for 99 cents a bottle or whatever, I'd rather throw the bottle out than to buy 3 to-go drinks at like $2.50 or $2.88 or $2.99 a cup.
That right. Hey, I've made it into the parking lot, so I'm going to say 7-3 to you and Miss Sally, Miss Ashley, and I hope everybody has an awesome day, and maybe I can catch you guys this afternoon. KN4 TFW.
Wonderful day, sir, and we'll catch you later. KA3 JCA with KA4 JCA.
He's Ken, KO4 HK. Good morning, Miss Sally.
Good morning, Richard.
Have an awesome day. Be safe out there. KN4 TFW.
Boy, I had to turn the volume down there. You were loud this morning to coming through just now.
That way of telling me I got a big mouth.
Have a good signal now.
Always had. Don't know what the deal is, man.
Digital radio, man. Seriously, I can take my digital radio and turn it on, and some radios, the people that are talking have clear, concise audio, correct level. It's just ideal for your radio. Then you get one or two operators, I swear they put the mic in their mouth, down by their vocal cords, and you have to turn the radio even lower than what it is to hear them. And then, of course, the next person that comes on holds it arm's length away, and then you're going to turn the volume back up. But that's digital for you. KA3JCA.
Digital. I think it's right, you know, anything to do with a microphone. I don't know. It's hard and it's different for everybody because everybody talks very different.
Well, reference that text yesterday. I don't know how much time frame you have. I know that he talked to me initially, and then I gave you the pesting information on. But do they want an actual what DMR is or how to get started in DMR?
From my understanding so far, and Bob and I are going to meet and discuss it and put a PowerPoint presentation together. But what I'm understanding is they're wanting what is it and how to get started. And, you know, just a basic high-level flyover of what DMR is.
If you go to the NCPRN page, they have a good article in there about what DMR is and the TDMA and the time slot. And kind of how it's, you know, you can get two channels compressed in on the one frequency and so forth. You can keep it very simple and streamlined. And then basically the biggest thing is you, one, have to have an amateur ticket. Number two is you have to apply to get a DMR ID number through radioid.net. And three, purchase a DMR radio.
Kind of what I was looking for and going after with them. Just basically going through the process that I did to get started was what I was going to do. You got to get your amateur ticket, and the next thing, you got to get your radio reference ID, and then get your radio. And I just basically, that's all I was planning to do, is go through what I've done to get started.
The biggest thing is deciding on what radio to get, because you have you have TYT, you have Connect Systems, you have Motorola radios out there, you have Anytone radios, and then once that, you know, getting the code plug set up. And the code plug seems to be the most confusing for everyone, is the fact that You know, you have to put in the actual talk group. Then once you get the talk groups programmed that you're going to use, you have to create a channel for each of the talk groups. It's not like, it's almost like just going to the 610 repeater and 820 repeater. You can consider the 610 one talk group and the 820 another talk group. And so you have to put them on two different channels, and then you have to put them in the zone in order for it to work. So, yeah, like I said, get it taken care of there. If you need any help, give me a jingle. I'll help you streamline it or whatever. Or if I can help you add to the file, I'll be more than welcome to do that.
That'd be good to help. And, you know, I kind of fumbled my way through it when I got started. So trying to figure out, the, you know, a better process than what I did. Was what I was after. I made it, and I understand the code plug now. I understand how it works and how to build it. I don't understand how static and dynamic talk groups, other than with I think it's dynamic. That's the one you're on there, and the static is the one you're monitoring, like a background search, you're scrolling through them.
Well, think of your dynamic group as nothing more than push to talk activated. So if I want to monitor, like a South Carolina State or Ohio State or Tennessee or, you know, a regional or a national, and I key the mic, that talk group's going to stay active for 10 minutes for as long as the last time the repeater was keyed on that talk group. So it'll stay active and your radio will receive it, you know, once you activate it. Now, what people fail to realize is they'll turn their radio on to, like, a certain regional talk group, like, a lot of times I'll put it on South Carolina Upstate. Well, if I don't key my radio at least once to activate the group, then I'm not going to hear anything at all.
Not about that one. But that's just the little quirks like that. Because you're the first person I've really had that I could learn anything, you know, bounce any ideas off of and get to understand it. The rest of us were just kind of in the same boat, fumbling our way through it because nobody knew much about it. And then, you know, sitting there watching the BridgeCom University videos helped me a bunch. But still, when you don't have somebody else to do it with, it's kind of hard to figure it out.
And that. Now, the static talk groups that you talk about, again, the same thing. The static groups will stay longer, especially if the repeater operator has them set up. Now, and that's something else you have to consider. Do people want to listen on an RF repeater, or do they want to use a hotspot inside their house? Because sometimes repeater owners don't leave the static. They're there, but, again, they're only activated when they're keyed up. But they stay active longer. Because they use one time slot dedicated just for that talk group versus going to a different talk group that's, like I said, a 10-minute timer. But, yep, there's so many different options and scenarios. I wish I could attend that meeting that you guys are going to do. And I did mention to Bob, we talked about it, there's possibility of setting up a Zoom meeting where I could help you with it or help answer questions.
I was thinking is I'll go be the face there, but you're there helping, presenting them. But I'm not trying to get you to help me do it, and I want you to be a part of it. Because you know way more about it than I do. I'll just go there, and I will be the person there, that kind of thing, and we can present it together. Was more what I was looking for, because trust me, I don't know enough about it to. I can get you on the air, and that would be about it, and get you a code plug built. And, yeah, I think most people's big misconception about DMR is it has to be online. It doesn't have to be online. You can use it just like we're doing right now. It's just got a different encryption to it.
On the 610 repeater, you have the one frequency. The repeater receives it and retransmits it. Think of it that if this was digital, then it would have two time slots so that two conversations could be held on one repeater. So it actually increases, you know, you go from 25 kilohertz down to 12.5 kilohertz for band spacing.
Thing I have to try to get people to understand when they ask me about it is it's not 100% reliant on the internet. Yes, it can be, but you don't have to use it that way.
If you have RF repeaters out there, what the internet does is help link those repeaters amongst each other. Now, what makes the internet more feasible is if you're in an area that does not have DMR repeaters for the talk groups that you decide you want, because you have talk groups that are within the Brandmeister network, you have talk groups that are within the TGIF, you have the talk groups that are part of the NCPRN network that use for Chat 1 and Chat 2, then you've got other agencies out there that are setting up DMR networks, so there's more than one network. You just have to decide what talk groups that you want to be on.
And you can go radio to radio just like you can with a regular VHF. You just got to have somebody that's got another DMR radio. It's basically just another mode, like FM or AM or that. I mean, that's all the way I interpret it.
These things too, Patrick, is when you do go, if I don't know how your hotspot is mounted in your truck, but if it's not easily removed, I have a spare here at the house because I keep one hooked up at the house, and then my other one I take with me when I go in and out of the car. So it's one of these things that you could take it to the meeting and set it on the table to show what everybody what it looks like for a typical hotspot. And then, like I said, you hook it to your cell phone, and you hook it to a battery pack, and then you take the little handheld, and you've got crystal clear communication, just like as if you had a 5/8 wave mobile antenna or base antenna.
Taking my hotspot because it's easily carrying around with me, not an issue. But that's kind of what I had in mind is something like that. You know, here's how you get started, here's the basics, and if you got any more questions, we'll answer them in another meeting or whatever. It's just, you know, showing you what it's basically capable of. That's kind of what I was planning on doing.
Planning, if they're willing to take the questions that we can answer and put them together in a format, then maybe that's, like you said, something that we can take all these questions and create a second meeting and a second PowerPoint just to kind of go from there.
The way I wanted to do it, because it's such a big subject, there's no way you'll cover it in one meeting anyway, or you'd be days long.
I mean, I'm still learning, so. All righty, sir. I'm going to go ahead and get Ashley off to work here and... I just wanted to touch base with you. Just let me know when you want to get together, and we can either set up some Zoom meeting to sit there and talk about back and forth together, bounce some ideas off. Then, like I said, if you need help putting together that PowerPoint, just let me know. KA3JCA.
Roger that. I'll probably need some references on website addresses again to get all that. But other than that, we'll get in touch with you. But you and Miss Sally and Miss Ashley have a great day if I don't talk to you again. But I'll look forward to talking to you on down long, KO4HKX. And I'll be on the side monitoring, 73.
I will get with you later, sir. KA3JCA, clear.